So good evening, good evening, good evening, everyone. This is Joyce Kiles, Executive Director of Walking Into a New Life. Thank you so much for tuning in for another broadcast of Boots on the Ground. We appreciate you joining us each and every Sunday from 6 until 7 Central Standard Time. We have changed our day and changed our time, and I have to remember that as well. So thank you for tuning in each and every Sunday from 6 until 7 Central Standard Time. We appreciate those that have continued to share our message. As you know, Walking Into a New Life is a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide tangible resources for individuals affected by domestic violence. And we're proud of the work that we continue to do in our community. And we appreciate you so much for sharing the information, for providing donations, willingness to volunteer, and just to be involved in the lives of others. This is very important to me personally as well as professionally. And for those who are just tuning in for the very first time, thank you, thank you, thank you. This show would not work without your participation, without your shares, without your encouraging words. And so we just want to continue to get this message out and have individuals to call in, chime in, share their information, their resources. And if you are a person who would like to be a guest on the show, by all means, please reach out to us at info@wial.org. Again, that's info@wial.org. And as those of you who have been following the show for some time, you know that we will interview our guests. And towards the end of the show, we will provide information about Walking Into a New Life, upcoming programs and events, and ways that you can get involved with the organization. So again, I'm Joyce Kiles, Executive Director of Walking Into a New Life, and we just want to again welcome you to our show. This week, we have the pleasure and the privilege of having men on the show. You know, I am so grateful for the men that continue to do the work in the community. We don't give them as much shine, as much credit as they are due. We are so accustomed to seeing the women out front, but there are a lot of wonderful men in our community that continue to work in the trenches and fight for the causes that they believe in. And so I have the honor and privilege of introducing two of those men to you. I also want to share that we have an event each year where we honor men in our community, and both of these gentlemen have been recipients of that award. So it is personally and professionally gratifying to have them both together to talk about the issues and concerns that they have, upcoming events that they have going on, and just what they are doing in the community since the time of receiving those awards. Their lists are extensive. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce to some and present to others Judicial Commissioner Kevin Reed and retired Captain Benny Cobb. Gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Joyce. Good evening, listeners. This is Kevin Reed. Thanks for having me on the show, Joyce.
Hey, Joyce. Hey, this is Benny Cobb. Hey, I'm always honored to be on the show with Joyce, and I'm especially honored to be on the show with Kevin Reed today, and I look forward to conversating with them both. Have not seen you guys this year, and it's just a pleasure to talk with you all, and let's get this show started.
All right, that sounds good to me. And yes, it is indeed a pleasure to have both of you together. You're absolutely right, Benny. Have not seen either of you this year, not in the physical, but I will say that I see the work that you all are doing in the community, and that is what I wanted you all to talk about today, because you are visible, and that's very key. So we might not have, as you know, my grandmother used to say, laid eyes on one another, but your work continues right to speak for itself. So, Benny, we're going to go ahead and get started with you, because I know you have other obligations that you need to fulfill, and I want to make sure that we give as much time to you as possible, and I don't want to maximize all of it. So let's get started with this interview. If you would, just tell our listening audience who may not be familiar with who you are a little bit about yourself and your background.
My name is Benny Cobb. I am a 37, almost 38-year veteran of law enforcement. I started my career with the Memphis Police Department and ended with the Shelby County Sheriff's Department. I worked in every capacity as mostly a manager and commander, and I have been a lifelong Memphian. Grew up in the hood. I'm from the hood. I have family and friends all over Memphis and Memphis and Shelby County. While I was working, Joyce, not to date myself by how old I am, but some of the things that's, some of the things that's dear to your heart and Kevin also, the domestic violence and sexual assault, I have seen the a serious transition. When I first started working, even up until the last 10 years of my career, these were subjects that were not taken seriously. We'd make the scene and tell somebody, well, you need to prove that you were sexually assaulted or somebody needs to leave. And we didn't have a real understanding of how serious the problem was, domestic violence and accusation of sexual assault. And only in the last few years, I would say the last 10 years or so, has law enforcement been forced to take a different look at it. And I've always had a different view, being the oldest of nine children. I had six sisters. And, of course, being the oldest and being the father figure, I always made sure that I did what I could do to protect them and keep them safe. And then I had a daughter and then four granddaughters. So I put me in a whole different perspective as a father, a grandfather, and a brother. So I appreciate the work that you guys are doing, and I'm so grateful that I'm a part of it. Joyce, I have worked with you for years now, and Kevin, I know of your work and what you do, and I'm just so happy to be a small part of it and offer my services and sharing the vision that you guys have. You guys have made Memphis and Shelby County a better place by bringing awareness to it. And I don't spend a whole lot of time being the advocating the way that you guys do. You have a passion for it. But believe me when I say that I support you all in my own way 100%. I take your mission out to the people that I talk with. I'm not a professional. I'm not an expert by any means. But, Joyce, I steal your thunder sometimes when I'm out speaking. I don't hesitate to say if you all are having problems, call Joyce Cowles. And I've said that to many places. And, Kevin, I know what you do. And as a man and as a male, I really, really admire your commitment to what you're doing because, as Joyce said earlier, this is these are areas that women basically dominate. Women normally have a compassion for, but people like Kevin and a couple other guys that I can think of, you guys motivate me, and I'm honored to know guys like you all.
I step outside
the box. I've taken it just from a personal level with my sisters and my grandchildren and my daughter, and I've taken it to the point where I advocate for all women and all ladies and everybody that may be victims. So I thank you guys for letting me be a part of this.
Appreciate those kind words, Benny. Appreciate those kind words. We just following in your footsteps. You were blazing the trail. You were one of the first men to kind of blaze the trail in this area, so we're just trying to follow in your footsteps.
I second that. I second that wholeheartedly. And I appreciate the work that you do because it all intersects. It all intersects. And so I always share with people that, you know, you have to have, in order for this to work and to truly be effective, you have to have people in all aspects. So you have some that are going to be those true boots on the ground, in the trenches, meeting and interacting with victims and survivors on a regular basis. And then once that individual has worked with them in that way, then we have to have people that we can send them to for services. for protections. We have orders of protection, and they've got to go through the judicial process. Some people may feel comfortable at this point that their form of protection needs to come in getting gun training and getting certified and what that looks like. And so I want to, before I have Kevin to come in and tell a little bit about himself, the other thing that I wanted to address with you, Benny, is to tell people about your services, you know, because that is one of the things that brought us together in terms of training. So if you would, just let our listening audience know a little bit about the services that you offer, when they're available, the different trainings, just whatever you feel and choose to share, the floor is yours.
Okay, well, over the, as I said, I spent almost 40 years, just short of 40 years in law enforcement, and I had the ability and was in the right place at the right time to get training in certain areas of public safety, personal and private protection. And when I retired, Joyce, I saw a need for those good instructors, good facilitators to train the public and to some extent law enforcement in some of the techniques they need to protect themselves. Now, when I have clients come in that want handguns for protection, I make it my point to sit down and talk with them to find out where exactly what they're thinking, because the last thing I want somebody to do is go out and hurt somebody, kill somebody, but I do want
right.
a client to be able to protect themselves.
And right.
I've had people call me and just say, I had one lady call me, for example. She was adamant about getting a gun to defend herself against her husband. Her husband had been arrested. She had an order of protection that she didn't believe in, and she called me, and she was referred to me, and she was at the gun store. And I did my best to talk her out of buying a handgun and to tell her that maybe there's some other solution to her problem. And she was adamant about it, and I brought in and trained her. And I kept in contact with her on a weekly basis, every two or three times a week. And finally, she and her husband went to counseling. One of my success stories is not training somebody to use a gun, but training somebody or convincing somebody not to use it. And that's a success story that I feel good about. And she called
yes.
me later.
Absolutely.
She and her husband had worked it out, and she was so appreciative because she, in her mind, the only thing she could do was get her a gun to kill him. And that's something I did not want in my conscience. That's something I did not want her to do. And so it's not about making the money or putting somebody in a position where they're carrying guns. Of course, I want any and everybody to be able to protect and defend themselves and their families if they have to. But let's not do it. Let's bag up. Let's pause and try to rationalize this and not have to use feel like we have to use a gun to resolve our situation. There's other means. And I was so glad that I had the opportunity to talk with the young lady. So I train police officers. I train citizens in handgun carry permits. I train citizens in private protection. But mostly I try to train them in situational awareness where they can be more apt to defend themselves or protect themselves by being aware of their situations, their surroundings, and where they are and what they're doing at that particular time. So the business that I have, this is what we do. We don't bring you in to say, hey, this is gung-ho, shoot everybody, kill everybody. This is the only alternative. We give very, very relative and prudent training that says that you can absolutely utilize your Second Amendment right to carry a gun. You can absolutely defend yourself if you have to, but we absolutely want you to consider other options, and there are many, many other options. Law enforcement is out there. There's social services. There's people that you can talk to for counseling, and only after you've exhausted every other means would we suggest that you take some kind of defensive action to protect yourself and your family from hurt, harm, or danger.
And, you know, I think the points that you made about making sure that people understand to use the services in a way that says, I'm not going to just, this person has been abusing me. And so as a result, I'm just going to go out and get a gun and get some training or not and kill this person, because that only intensifies an already bad situation. So I like the fact that you do offer the services in it and that it is available, but that you also spend a significant amount of time talking with individuals about gun safety and get an idea of why it is that they're wanting to have that done. I think that that is a responsible thing to do. I'm glad that it is something that you make sure that you talk with those who come for training, whether it's a victim or survivor, it's law enforcement, whomever it is, that you actually have those types of conversations, because it's important to understand what's going on in a person's head, you know, and we don't want to, you know, literally and figuratively give you the ammunition to go forward and do something that you will later regret. So I appreciate knowing, you know, you're not trying to do this for the money, you know, that you do have a conscience about your business and the work that you do. So I'm so appreciative of that. And, you know, before I let you go, I want you to share with people how they can get in touch with you, and then also any last points or takeaways that you would like for our audience to be aware of.
Well, you know, in today's society, what you do, Joyce, and what Kevin does, and what I do, there's more and more of a need, now than ever before. And strangely, we do things differently for different reasons, but we all do the same thing. And this society now is more of a gun culture. It's more of a take action culture, and people really feel like they have to have guns. I mean, guns are everywhere. They're not going anywhere. Unfortunately, the wrong people are getting access to them. The gun training business is really great. It's really busy. And I like to say this in defense of the gun training and gun ownership and possessing guns. I've done studies that show that people who are well trained and have an appreciation of guns commit very little crime, or they use those guns and rarely use those guns in any kind of action. So I'm very, very glad to say that. Now, having said that, it's unfortunate that we're in a society now where you almost have to have a gun because society doesn't respect life anymore. Certain segments of society don't respect life anymore. They don't respect your property anymore. I did a news thing a couple of weeks ago, and carjackings and driveway robberies and these things are on the rise. And as a result, the fear that people are having, for example, Joyce and Kevin, I have a handgun class tomorrow, and I have 25 people in that class. And and normally I would have one class a month. I'm having that many people every week. It's kind of disturbing that we feel like that we have to have a gun to survive these days. And along with what I do as far as training for I feel like I do more than training somebody for violence, because I try to put an element in there that says, this is a reason not to use violence, or this is a reason, this is alternative, even though you have this tool. And I feel like it's working, because I have not seen any of my over 1,000 people in the last 5 years that have been involved in any kind of incident. So you can absolutely carry a gun. You can absolutely practice the Second Amendment. You can absolutely have a gun for protection of you and your family, as long as you have the training to go along with it. And I'm glad to say that's what we offer, and that's what I'm proud of.
Benny, before you go, let me ask you a question and use your expertise. At the beginning of the year, I wrote an article. It was in the Commercial Appeal in the opinion section about domestic homicides, and we had 36 domestic homicides in 2016. And when you, you know, when you go and you look at those cases where you had the domestic homicides, what you normally see is a history of abuse that's within the relationship, maybe some stalking that's in the relationship, and then there's also, you know, the presence of a firearm. And then when you mix those two things together, that's when you have those fatal results, unfortunately. And so I'm wondering, you know, throughout the years, has there been anything that you have seen that kind of gives you a indicator of when there's you know, that type of situation where there might be some abuse going on and there's a gun in the home? Are you aware of any warning signs or things that people might say that kind of tip you off that there might be a possible bad situation?
Well, you know, the strange thing about that, and I read your article, and it was a really, really good article in Commercial Appeal. I told people, hey, I know that guy there. He's a smart guy.
Me too.
Hey, you know when you see smart people and you try to associate yourself with them, yeah, he's a friend of mine. So anyway, but look, on the serious side, Kevin, the thing that I see, you know, domestic violence is a crime of passion. It's in the heat of passion most of the time, and like you say, there's stalking. There's some elements that's a continuation. It's not just. Very rarely, as you know, it's a one-time situation where somebody's getting killed, unless it's just somebody roll up on somebody that's out with somebody else. But in my handgun training, I've trained and I make a point to talk with people on the personal level. The only person that I know of that said that they needed a handgun, and she actually bought one. She wanted one. She was determined to get one, and she got one. Was the lady that I spoke of earlier,
right?
And she felt like that was her only out. And when we were teaching the class, she sat up in the classroom and she started crying, and she started, you know, she just lost control, and she did not want to be there, but she felt like she had to and she needed to. Now, she's the only one that's expressed that need for that particular reason. But I would say this. I believe that if we did a study, a comprehensive study, with the ones that have committed domestic violence or the ones that have legal handguns and have had some kind of training, I believe that we would find a very, very small relationship to people that actually have gone through handgun training class and people that actually commit domestic violence or crimes with those handguns. I think it would be a very, very small amount. I think that what happens is people that don't have a respect for guns, don't have an understanding of guns, also don't have a respect and appreciation for relationships. And I really believe they go hand in hand because I see very few people. Most of the people that come into the class are professional people. A lot of guys come in with their wives or their significant others. A lot of people come in with their children, you know, their adult children or sisters. So we have families coming in. But I would tend to believe that very few people that have committed homicides or done violence or bodily harm to somebody with a firearm, very few of these people have had any kind of official training and understanding of how dangerous a gun could be. I think it's just somebody that, you know, has been brewing up for a while. A lot of times the person it'd be a murder-suicide. I think we had three of those in one weekend.
Murder-suicide. Right. That's absolutely right.
Yeah. So I believe that very few of them are directly associated per se with the gun more than it is with the issues that's going on.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
Okay.
That's good insight, Benny. Thank you.
And Benny, thank you so much for taking time out to share with us today and just to be a part of this show. And for those who are just tuning in, I'm Joyce Kyles, Executive Director of Walking Into a New Life. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Boots on the Ground. We have been talking with retired Captain Benny Cobb and Judicial Commissioner Kevin Reed. And so Benny has just been sharing with us some great insights on guns, gun training, gun safety, protection, just being mindful of your reasoning behind getting a gun and getting the training and making sure that we are acting responsibly as we go through our day-to-day activities. And, you know, also recognizing that it is our Second Amendment right to own one, but just to be responsible in our choices and to get the training. And I love the fact that he talked a lot about how it's not about the money and it's not about just selling you a gun or selling you the training, I should say, but also just talking with you and having a real understanding of why you're doing what you're doing. And I think that's a responsible attitude to have. His services are Eagle Eye Security Services. He is on Facebook as Benny Cobb. The company that he has, Eagle Eye Security Services, is also on Facebook. I'm going to be sharing his information on our website as well as our social media page so that you can connect with him. And if you're one of the individuals who happen to come on late, I always share with you, please go back and listen to the replay and share this information. If it doesn't apply to you specifically, chances are you or someone in your circle of influence can and should be using this information. So having said that, Captain Cobb, thank you so much for being our special guest today, and we're going to switch gears and talk with Kevin, but I do want to thank you so much for your time, your talent, and your expertise on today.
Well, thank you very much for inviting me. I look forward to laying eyes on you guys in a couple of weeks. Kevin, I'm going to be with you, and we're going to make sure that Joyce finishes in record time that race so she can get her award. And I look so forward to hanging out with you guys here in a couple of weeks.
Thank you so much.
All right, you too. Bye-bye. All right, and as I just mentioned, we're switching gears just a bit for those of you who are just tuning in. We've been talking with Captain Cobb, and now we're going to switch gears and talk with Judicial Commissioner Kevin Reed, one of my good friends, good colleagues, a person who is really, when we talk about boots on the ground and being visible, especially when it relates to issues judicially, issues related to domestic violence, and just overall humanity. He is a wonderful source of knowledge, and I'm so pleased that we have him on the show today. So again, as I said at the top of the hour, without further ado, I'm going to introduce to some and present to others, none other than Judicial Commissioner Kevin Reed. So thank you for joining us.
Joyce, I appreciate you, and I appreciate all the work that you do in the community. Your listeners probably don't know this, but as I was coming into this environment, coming into working in the domestic violence community, you were one of the first people that I attached to. And I tried to ride on your coattails for as long as you would let me ride, because you were really the only person in the community that I knew of who kind of felt like men needed to play a role in stopping this domestic violence that was going on, and we connected on that level. And we've been rolling strong. We've been rolling strong ever since.
Yes, sir.
That's right. I am one of 10 judicial commissioners. I've been saying 8 for so long, but we finally got some additional help. But I am one of 10 judicial commissioners in Shelby County. And what we do, we're kind of the judicial officers who keep the machine rolling that you never hear about. We're the ones that are working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, reviewing arrest warrants, signing bonds, looking at search warrants. We do all of that while the elected judges enjoy being at home. We're at work doing that. And in terms of domestic violence, we are the ones that sit and hear the cases for order of protection and make a decision as to whether or not order of protection should be granted. And I've been doing that for 8 years now. And then on the advocacy side, I am the vice president of the Memphis and Shelby County Domestic and Sexual Violence Council. And that's an organization that is all about awareness. That organization tries to bring together all the stakeholders in the community, faith-based, law enforcement advocates, grassroots organization, Life Walking Into a New Life, and try to bring everybody to the table so that we can hear what others are doing, support each other, and bring awareness to the community about the services that we offer. So I got a couple of hats on, and they keep me busy. They keep me busy. I have a passion for this. And, you know, I would love to see, I talk about that domestic homicide a lot, and I would love to see us have a year where we have no domestic homicides in this county. So we got to figure out how to get from 36 down to zero, and I think we can do it. I think we can figure it out.
I do, too. And that may sound, you know, far-fetched to other people, but I believe that it is possible, and awareness is definitely a part of that, but we have to also take that awareness and put it into action, and we have to do that as a community. It cannot be considered not my problem or that somebody else's problem. And one of the things I mentioned earlier in the broadcast was that everybody can do something. Everybody is not intended to be in front of the camera. You know, some people are supposed to be behind the camera. Some people are supposed to be in legislation. Some are supposed to be in law enforcement. Some are supposed to be part of the judicial system. You know, everybody has a role to play, and if we were all proactive in that role, I do believe that the numbers will change drastically. And I'm so glad that you brought into the room about my passion where men are concerned, because I just grew really tired of always seeing men being portrayed as the perpetrators. And while there is a lot of truth in that, and it's certainly enough statistics to support that, we have a great number of men who are actually doing the work. They are advocating. They are sincere. They are really going forward with studies and working with their families and being role models and examples. And you are certainly one of those men. And it's one of the things that drew me to you. Elizabeth Shelley is the one who told me about you years ago. And
right,
I said, okay,
right.
The next event that we have to have Kevin Reed to participate. And so you were our keynote that year. And I just wanted to stay connected with you. You're a husband, you know, your father. So you have family ties and you have a real appreciation for wanting to see your children grow up in an environment that is not filled with abuse. And
absolutely.
I just wanted to always stay connected with you. But, you know, you mentioned several hats, and that you do, you carry them all, and you carry them all well. But the one that you didn't that I want you to talk a little bit about is that of author. So if you would, share with our audience about your journey as an author and a little bit about what the book is about, and then, of course, how people can buy the book.
Of course. So it's been several years now. I wrote a book called Focus on Offenders. And Focus on Offenders, the major point of it was, you know, we as a domestic violence community we spend a lot of our time and effort and money and energy trying to tell victims to leave or get out of the situation. And we put a lot of responsibility on the victim free herself from the situation. And then when it doesn't work out, then we put, you know, shame on the victim, or we turn our back on the victim because they didn't, you know, they went back for some reason that we don't understand. And I saw this over and over and over again, especially in the judicial field, working as a public defender. And I saw how the abusers, the offenders, really knew how to manipulate the criminal justice system in order to, you know, get away with domestic violence and get out of jail and basically just continue on doing what they were doing. So that led me to write a book. And the thing was basically saying, look, let's not put all this responsibility on the victims to get out of their own situation. Let's try to see what's going on with these men and get them somehow to stop being abusive. So that led me to write that book, Focus on Offenders, and I have a bunch of ideas in there on how to do that. But at the end of the day, Joyce, my belief is that, you know, men, good men of character, are going to have to publicly and privately condemn domestic violence. We don't have enough men out there saying, you know, this is wrong. And, you know, I would love for there to be this great movement of men out there saying, you know, don't do this, and not being a part of this, and not accepting misogynistic talk, you know. But we don't have that just yet. But ultimately, what we've got to do is change the culture that allows men to do this. And there's so many men out there that are not abusive. And you and I, we went to a seminar. I think you hosted the seminar when you brought in, what was the gentleman's name that you brought in to speak on this? Yes, you brought in Mr. Yes. Porter. Mr. Porter illustrated this so well when he said that good men vastly, vastly outnumber abusive men. The good men who are in good relationships, like your husband.
Yes.
We vastly outnumber the abusive men, and if we could somehow mobilize all those guys, and make it, you know, shame those other guys into acting right and letting them know that this is not, you know, the way that men are supposed to act. I think it would change. So that's basically what the book was about. It is online. I know you told me to say how to get it. It is online. Focus on Offenders by Kevin Reed. It is on Amazon, and you can get the digital version for a couple of bucks, and the paperbacks for, I think, $6, I think. So it's not that expensive.
All right. No, it's not. And yet the book is not expensive, but the information in the book is priceless. And I have it. I have read it. And I do plan on actually getting a few copies and sharing them as gifts for men that are doing this work, and hopefully it will spark, you know, them to go a step further and do just what you said in terms of talking and publicly as well as privately saying this is wrong and how do we combat it, because it is going to take, because the bad ones are not going to do it, you know, as long as they have that mentality and they keep it, they're going to continue to advocate what they advocate for. Right. So we have to be proactive in our positivity to advocate the opposite. And like the point that you brought out that Tony mentioned when he came, you know, we far outweigh them, but we, in our far outweigh need to take that and put it into practice. So I am going to get some and share those as gifts for men who are involved in this work. And hopefully, as I said, it'll spark a conversation that will get them to moving forward. And as we are starting to wind down towards the end of the broadcast, there are a couple of things that I want to make sure that I mention with regard to walking into a new life. But then I want Kevin to talk about the events that are taking place with the Memphis Shelby County Domestic and Sexual Assault Council. So, really quickly, I just want to share that walking into a new life right now has a cell phone drive that we are hosting. So throughout this entire month of April, we will be collecting old cell phones, chargers, batteries, any accessories. So if you would like to participate in this drive with us, please get in touch with us as soon as possible. We do have boxes and we have posters, we have flyers. So all you need, and it doesn't cost anything. Just set it up at your church, your wherever your place of worship may be, your organizations, your jobs, beauty salons, wherever. Just set up the box and just have people to drop them in. We will collect those boxes from you. Contact us at info@wianl.org. Visit our website at www.wianl.org. You can find out all the information about where we are, what we're doing. We do have a lip sync karaoke contest type of thing, fundraiser coming up in April as well. It's called Sync for Your Life, and it's free to attend. We're just asking people to give donations at the door. So those are just a couple of things that we're working on right now. So, Kevin, I would like to take these last few minutes that we do have. I want you to talk a little bit about what the council is doing and the race and how to get involved with that.
Okay. Well, the as I mentioned earlier, the council is an awareness organization, and April is Sexual Violence Awareness Month. And what we like to do during Sexual Violence Awareness Month is bring awareness and bring attention to the services that we have for people that are victims of sexual violence, victims of sexual assault. We want to let the community know exactly what those services are. And so we have our second annual Race Against Sexual Violence 5K. Which is April the 15th, Saturday, the Saturday before Easter, April the 15th at 9 a.m. at Shelby Farms. And this brings out our running community and other volunteers and that type of thing. But we also have our vendors, our community partners who will be there giving out materials and letting the folks know who come about our services, and hopefully they will give those services, that information to other people as well. We usually have about 100 runners. We're looking like we're going to have a little bit more than 100 this year. We run the 5K through Shelby Farms. It's a beautiful run. It's kind of hilly, so it's kind of a tough 5K. Yes, Joyce ran the 5K last year. And then right after the race, the Crime Victim Center, has their professional services awards right after the race, and they give out awards for Victim Service Professionals of the Year, Victim Advocate of the Year, and Criminal Justice Professional of the Year. And so it's a good time. If you're a person that likes to run, then you can run in this 5K and support a good cause. We take our registration money and the money that we get from our sponsors, and we use that money to do other awareness events during the year. And then lastly, we give out, the Crown Victim Center gives out its awards for those who have been tirelessly working in this in this field over the year. So just go to Races Online, Races Online, and racesonline.com, and look for the second annual Race Against Sexual Violence 5K, and you can register right there online. I think the cost is $25 to register for the race. So that's what we got coming up, Joyce.
All right, and yes, I did survive the race. I made it, and I was really proud of myself. I was 20, I think I was 23rd out of 40, the 44 women that ran. So I was really pleased with that.
You did great.
I finished. So, you know, if you're not a runner, but you're a walker, it is a bit hilly at times, but it's a beautiful, beautiful layout. So you get to run, but you see all this great scenery in the process. So whether you are a runner or a walker, or if you just want to support, just come out. And I will be posting the information about how to get registered. I think it's $25, and you get a T-shirt and your official tag that shows you are an official runner. So it was just a great experience for me. And so I would strongly encourage any and everybody who's listening to just get involved. Like I said, if you're not a runner, it's okay. Come out and walk. If you don't want to do either, just come out and look at the vendor tables and gather that information. Again,
right.
If it's not something that you need, I can guarantee you someone in your circle of responsibility can and should be using this information. So as we wrap it up, Kevin, I'm going to leave the last words for you. If there's anything that you would like for the listening audience to take away, this is a great time to go ahead and just take a minute or two out and share your thoughts.
Okay. Well, I would say this. While we are the men are trying to do their thing to change the culture, in the meantime, it is incumbent upon the family and the friends of victims to really help. I think that you know, if we can mobilize the families and friends of people who are victims to provide shelter if they need shelters, to provide transportation, to be a listening ear, to provide money if need be, we've also got to mobilize our family and friends in the right now to help our victims. So if you know somebody who's in a situation, go to them privately and go to them discreetly and say, "Hey, is there anything that I could do? I know you're going through something. Can I help you in any way?" Know about the services that are available so that you can tell that person in that situation. So, you know, I also want to mobilize the family and friends of victims to get involved. I know we like to say that things going on in people's homes are their own business, but where domestic violence is concerned, we've got to change that and reach out when we know that something is wrong. So that's my last word.
And with that, I think that's the best way to wrap this entire show up. So I want to thank both Judicial Commissioner Kevin Reed and retired Captain Benny Cobb for being guests on our show. Thank you to our listening audience who continue to support our efforts each and every week. And as always, I'm Joyce Kyles, Executive Director of Walking Into a New Life. This has been another broadcast of Boots on the Ground. I bid you good evening, be blessed, and we will see you or talk with you again on next week.